Okay, we're going to talk to Kav Zion tonight, Noe Katan. So I'm going to begin. We're up to the first very wide, narrow, last very narrow line on Kav Zion 27A, last very narrow line on the daf is we're up to. Okay, so again, we've discussed previously. There's a din in Kfir Amita of a person's an Abel. It says a mitzvah for him to flip over all the beds in the house. We don't do this anymore, but the Mechaber says we don't do it because the goyim will think we're engaged in sorcery, kishuf. And our beds aren't like the way they were be in the old days. There was the old beds you could flip over. Our beds you really can't flip over. So Tana Rabban on a kofa mitzto, let me tell about who kofa. When a person flips over the bed, it's not only the first white line, not only his own bed, they'll call me kofa, all the beds in the house. So it's not an issue of like personal discomfort for the person. It's a din, and the way Rabbi Leibowitz was saying, it's a din like in the Beis Ha'avel, that he all the beds have to be flipped over. Even if it's 10 beds in 10 locations, he has to flip all of them over. And the way the number of Rishonim explained that, even if it's in different homes, so he has to flip over the beds. Even if there are five brothers and one brother passed away, so all the brothers have to flip over all their beds wherever they may be located. If, on the other hand, the bed, again, the bed served a little different the way than we do it. So the bed would be where they would sit on the bed. That would be, and then they would also sleep on the bed. But if the bed was used just for kalim, in other words, I'm just storing kalim on it, you know, utensils or whatever, then I don't have to flip over. It's not made for human usage. Then dargash, and we don't know what dargash is, so we must be very patient. Dargash in Sirich Lapoto, whatever the dargash is, the type of bed, you don't have to flip it over. El Zoko. Zoko means you'll flip it up. So I'll do it a little bit here with the people can see. In other words, if this is the bed, so I flip it up vertically. In other words, the bed is like on its side, you know, leaning against the wall, but it's like the head will be at one end and the tail at the other end, but it's going up to the, up and down. So back in the Gemara, he says, El Zoko. So Roshula says dargash, you loosen the loop and it falls apart by itself.
What is dargash?
Okay, please. I said that we don't know what dargash is. The Gemara will address it, and please hold all questions till I pause. Okay, listen closely. I said we don't know what dargash is yet. Okay, so just a minute. Let me just go back. Okay, 1 minute. Okay, all right. 1 minute. Okay, So Shmuel says, dargash, it's a type of bed. We don't know what type of bed it is yet. Dargash, matir karbitav, you loosen the loops, uno fail me lav, and then it falls on by itself. So one way to say is that Rabbi Shmuel is more lenient than the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama says, you don't have to put it up on its side. And Rabbi Shmuel is saying, you could do that, but if you want, you leave it where it is, and you loosen the loops, and then it's even easier than that. That's one way to say it. Or he might be more machmir, which is another way that one of the Rishonim wants to say that bedafka you have to loosen the loops and you can't flip it up on its side. Okay, so that's the price then. Now we get to Ruth's question. He's listening, Ruth, we're up to your question. This is my dargash. What's a dargash? Do you see that? So it says, Amar Ula, Arsa the Gada. So Ula says, it's Arsa the Gada. It's like a good luck bed. In other words, now there's a whole discussion. The Gemara is going to reject this answer, but that's what we think it originally it is. In other words, a bed you leave like for the malach, like for the good mazel malach who should come, and that's his place for that malach. And there's a question that Rishon get into, isn't this nichush? But if it's a bed and it's just like for the malach, they say not, but we'll see. So my darkash amar ula the arsa the gada. So if that's the case. And again, the Gemara is going to reject this explanation, but it means it's a bed, but I'm not using the bed for sleeping. I'm not using the bed for anything. I'm leaving the bed just for this malach. So that's what the bed does. So Amarli Rabba Elamiatza Gabi Melech Ditnan. So he says, if that's the case, but by a king, we learn the Mishnah of the Second Sanhedrin, Kulam Mesubal Haaretz. Everybody, if the king is in Avelus, the king is in mourning, so everybody's on the ground. Who may save Allah Dargash? He, the king, is on this Dargash. He says, so me kamidi dara idna lo otine vahashtam otine lay. So does it make sense that this would be a bed that he would not use up until now? And now that it became an Abel, he gets to use the bed. In other words, the idea is the king has to be somewhat exalted even when he's in mourning.
So everybody else is on the ground, and he, the king, is on the dargash. We think dargash is his bed that's like for mazel. You leave it and you don't use it. But so the Gemara says, does it make sense? So that's what Ula says dargash is. But the Gemara asks, Rabba says, but does it make sense that a king, so he would never be on the dargash, now he's in mourning, he's on the dargash? So that's the kasha against Ula. So Maktiv La Ravashi, so Ravashi asked a strong question, and was Ravashi is going to deflect the question. My kusha, what type of question is that? Midi dahava achilu shtia. Why is that different than eating and drinking? Dara idna lo ochlina v'lo ashkine. In other words, by every avel, up until now, we're not giving him food, we're not giving him drink. Hashta ochlina v'ashkine. And now, we do give him food and drink, and that's like talking about Sudas Havra. So things are different in Avelos, and sometimes we do things differently for the Avel than we wouldn't normally do for him. So that question we're able to deflect. So Elo Ikasha HaKasha. The Gemara says, rather, there's a question against Ula. Again, Ula is saying that Dargash is this Arsa Degata, sort of like a good luck bed. So Elo Ikasha HaKasha. Tanya, we learn the Braisa. Dargash in Otsirichla Tapoto, El Zokfo. So the Braisa said, and we just did this above on the fourth white line, that a Dargash, you don't have to flip it over, but you'll be Zokay fit. You'll put it up, you know, like leaning against the wall, like on its ends. The Arsa, the Gada, Amayin Otsirichla Tapoto. So if it really, if it's a, like this good luck bed, why don't you have to flip it over? Hatani, we learn in the Braisa, the same Braisa. That when a person flips over the bed, he doesn't flip over only his own bed, he flips over every bed that's in the house. So why would he not have to flip over the dargash? So that's question number two. So the Gemara says, the Gemara deflects that question as well. Umay kasha, why is that a question? Why should the dargash be different than the meat that's miuchet l'kelim? We said if I have a bed that I don't use for sleeping, I don't use for sitting, I use it to store utensils. I don't know, I leave my plates, my pots and pans on the bed, so I don't have to flip over that bed. The Tanya, you don't have to flip it over. So again, Ula said a dargash is arsa de God, like this good luck bed. So we asked two questions against Ula's hezber, and both of them, one had to do with the king, and we were able to deflect that question. We said, how come the king's able to sit on the dargash if it's a good luck bed? It's the fact that he's doing it then. That's not such a kasha, because all sorts of things happen during Shiva. And then we said that how come I don't have to flip over the dargash? I flip over all the beds in the house. So it's not all the beds. It's the bed of Kilim, I don't flip over either. So now the Gemara asks the last question against this dargash. El ikasha hakasha. If there's a question I ask against the arts of the God, this is it. That Rishon Lil says, with a dargash, you loosen the loops and it falls apart by itself. These talkadaitach are said the gada. If you assume it's arsa the gada, the bed for good luck, my karbitin itlay. What loops would it have? So it's going to come out like this. The Gemara is going to say that, like, if the regular bed, Bisman Hazal, you'd have like four, you know, boards, you know, like sideboards, and you have a headboard and a board near your feet, and then attached to those boards would be like ropes ropes going back and forth, and the ropes would stay attached, and you'd put cushions on the ropes. That would be the typical bed. With this dargash, well, we don't know yet, but it's going to come out that the dargash is like this leather bed. I have this leather sheet, and this difference in Rishonim how to understand this, but in this case, there's going to be ropes that are looped through the sideboards, and then there are ropes coming out from the leather, and one will be looped on the other one, so that I could take it apart, and it would fall apart. So the Gemara is saying, if it's really a bed that I'm making for this mazel, I wouldn't do it like in a sort of temporary way that is like loosening. In other words, a regular bed, you can't loosen the loops. Regular bed, the ropes are there permanently. And it says by the dargash, you just like loosen the loops. Like it's like, I don't know, letting go like your shoelaces, like the bow, and then it falls apart. But that doesn't fit in with this arsa degada. So let's take a look. Okay, just 1 minute. I just want to get through this Dargash piece, then I'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. Somebody is making noise. Okay, so let's take a look. So the Gemara says, so we're around the 20th very wide line on Kav Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay, welcome, Daniel Michael. Okay, Kav Zayin Amud Aleph, we're on the 20th wide line. So near the asterisk. So Kiata Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Lehume Rabbanan, one of the Chachamim said to him, Rav Tachlifa Bar Ma Rava Shmei. His name was Rav Tachlifa Bar Ma Rava, and the simple pshat is Bar Ma Rava, that he was from Eretz Yisrael. So Ravin is coming from Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Tachlifa, who also originally came from Eretz Yisrael, said to him, he says, Dahabashchich Beshukha Digildoi. So Rav Tachlifa was very familiar with the leather market. He says, my dargash, he said, what is a dargash? Arsa Datsila. It's a leather bed, the way I described it. In other words, you have, you know, the two side posts and the head post and the post that goes near the feet, and then you have a sheet of leather, and around the sheet of leather are ropes attached to it, and then you have other ropes that go through the sideboards, and they loop around one another. He says, "It barnami am Rabbi Yirmiyah dargash sirugomi tocho." A dargash sirugomi tocho. It's woven into the side post. In other words, the ropes are going through the side post. Mita siruga gaba. But the bed is woven on top of it. Okay, now let's just pause for a second. So again, so we said in the Bryce, so just review for everybody. Okay, so we said there's a mitzvah of kviyat mita, and if a person's an avelus, there's a mitzvah to flip over all the beds in the house, even the beds that he's not going to use. He has to flip over the beds. And according to many we've shown him, even beds in other locations that he has, he's got to flip over them. That's a din. That's a din that he has to do. So then we said, though, that if it's a bed that's just used for kelim, you don't have to flip it over. And then the Braisa said that a dargash you don't have to flip over. A dargash you don't have to flip over, but you're zokeh. You'll put it up like, you know, like on its side. So like the, you know, like the one end will be on the floor and the other end will be up in the air, like against the wall, like that type of thing. So that you can do that with the dargash. And according to Gamliel, you could just let the loops loosen. So the Gemara initially thought that a dargash was like this good luck bed, but we asked Kashas against it. It didn't make sense that you have loops that would be different than a regular bed if it's just a good luck bed. So the Gemara ends up saying, no, a dargash is like this leather type of bed, which has a leather sheet, and it's made to like sort of be taken apart and you can let it loose and you don't have to flip it over. And I saw you may not have to flip it over because they didn't want you to like for schmutz all the leather with it and things like that. Okay, let me just do a few lines and then I will pause. We'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. So Amr Yaakov or Acham, Rav Shimon Levi, Halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel. So he says Halacha follows Rav Shimon Gamliel that a dargash, you just loosen the loops and you're good. So Amr Yaakov or Acham, Rav Yaasi, okay, mita shnakli tayo, it's in zokva b'dayo, that if a person has a bed that nakli tayo, it means it's like got two posts in the middle of the bed, like to put a canopy over it. So it's like looks like a tent. So that, I can't flip it over, you know, upside down, but I'll put it up on its side. I'll go that way. Okay, let me pause for a minute because I've been talking for a bit. And I just wanted to get, this is the most difficult sugya today. I just want to get through it. Okay, now let's questions, comments, and thoughts on anything I said so far. Okay, what's up? Wait, Rafi has a question. Okay, Fern, I'll come to you in a second. Rafi here first. No. We said a dargash, we don't have to do it. We're not going to flip over the dargash. No. We said we're gonna either according to the Tanakhama, you're gonna be Zokay. You'll put it against the wall like this. So I assume that the bed for Kalim you're using for Kalim, you know, I got the dishes and the silverware on it. I don't want to like flip it over and then everything's gonna come crashing down. That's what I assume. I don't know what else to say. No. Remember we learned in the Gemara. It's remember to be maskir that the Selam Elokim has changed. In other words, we said one shot is when a person's alive, he's, you know, the Selam Elokim is one way, and then he's dead, he's another way. And the big change that's taken place, reminds us of this big change. We had this in the Gemara earlier about the Selam Elokim. Okay, Fern, what do you got for me?
Just when we talk about him flipping the bed over, is the Gemara referring to him doing it himself or someone doing it for him, the way we have Shiva today?
Yeah, it doesn't make much difference. It just has to be done. If you remember the Gemara said on the top of the Amud, which we did this yesterday, the Bryce at the top of the Amud said, when the body is taken out of the house. So it sounds like the way in my way, I'm thinking that, you know, the Avil is busy with the dead person and other people are flipping over the beds, but whoever, somebody has to flip it over.
I think, too, because it's following the goof out of the house.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Okay. Yeah. Daniel has a question. Go ahead.
Is it consensus that it is not a bed that's being used? I mean, otherwise, if you're going to stand on the side, we can use that body.
No. Let's go back again. So this dargash is a bed that could be used. It's a leather bed, but it's like sort of like sounds like a temporary sort of a bed, like a collapsible bed type of thing. And it's with leather, but they didn't want you to like get the leather ruined, it sounds like, on the floor. So they let you get by with a different way.
Right. So obviously, you're not going to be able to use it in that position.
You know, when it's flipped up on its side, that's certainly not.
I think Malka had a question.
So when he goes to sleep at night, again, their beds were different than our beds. So the bed is flipped over. In other words, their beds were like flip overable and usable. In other words, in other words, you have a bed that's got like four posts. This is the bed. So now I flip it over. So the post is sticking up in the air, but I'll slip on this side. Or he could sleep on the floor, or he could sleep wherever else is doing it with him. Okay.
One other thing, the custom of covering all the mirrors in the house that. Any route to having all the beds in the house?
Yeah, that's what we said it was related. We said it was related to like, not today, but we mentioned it previously about the Tzelem Elokim being like, you know, changed.
So therefore, once you have a mirror, not to look at your own image?
In other words, there's something changed with the image of a person. In other words, the idea is that with death, like the one way to understand it is like the person, he was in life, now he's dead. It's like the Tzelem Elokim.
I mean, who's the first person who introduced the idea about mirrors?
I don't know. It's not in the Gemara. I don't know the answer to that question. Okay, let's keep moving with the Gemara. Okay, unless there's any more questions. Everybody good in the cyber world? Okay, Ruth, you good? You got any answer to your question?
Malka has a question.
Okay, well, you're a counselor. Let me hear. Okay, let me hear. What do you
she
got, Malka?
Asks,
okay, where is Malka?
This includes beds that other people are sleeping on. I think the answer is yes.
Malka can't speak. So what did you guys say again? Does it include beds that other people are sleeping on? So
I think
the Gemara, is that her question? Yeah.
That's the first part.
Yeah. So it sounds like from the Gemara that all the beds in the house have to be flipped over. That's the way it sounds like. What's the next question?
Does that include even non-relatives and the relatives who
may be
obligated?
No, in other words, it's his house. It's Reuben's house. All the beds in the house sound like they have to be flipped over. That's the way it sounds like. All right. Let me keep moving. All right. Now, Is that it for Malka's questions, or there's more?
That was it.
Okay.
I wouldn't shortchange her.
Okay, let's see back. All right, now, so now we're around 20 lines from the bottom on Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, Yashen Al Gabi Kisei. If a person goes to sleep on a chair, he's an Avel, obviously. Al Gabi Udyani, we had Udyani before, Gedola, like a big bowl or whatever, but he's on the other, like you flip over the bowl. Al Gabi Karka, or he sleeps on the ground, Lo yasayidei chobato. In other words, even though, let's say he's sleeping on the ground, that doesn't absolve him of the requirement to flip over the beds. In other words, he could sleep in the bed, he could sleep on the ground, but the chiyuv is to flip over the beds. In other words, the idea is that it's not per se his personal discomfort, there's a difference. The beds have to be flipped over, and then, you know, where he sleeps is a different issue. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Shlokim Kfira Mitzis. Rabbi Yochanan explains, because he didn't, in other words, the price of explains that you didn't fulfill your obligation, and Yochanan explains because you didn't warn kol for the mitzvah. Tana Rabbanan, mechavdin u'marbitzim b'beit ha'avel. So you can sweep, and marbitzim is to like sprinkle water to make like the sweeping easier in the house of the mourner. So some want to say it means even the mourner could do it, some want to say. He says, u'madichin karot b'kosov slothiot b'titoniot b'beit ha'avel, that we wash
bowls, and we wash cups and jars and bottles in the house of the Avil. The aim of being in a mugmar, you know, b'samim l'beta Avil. We don't bring mugmar, is like the fragrance and the incense to the base of Avil. Now, remember, b'zman Chazal, they would always bring mugmar. We learned this in Brachot at the end of the meal. That would be the way they would end the meal, by bringing mugmar there. So the Gemara says, Eni, is this true? But Tani Bar Kapara, but Bar Kapara taught the following brisa. That you don't make the bracha over the mugmar, over the fragrances and the incense in the Beis HaAvel. So the Gemara deduces from that, we don't make the bracha there. So we do bring it, we just don't recite the bracha. So from the earlier brisa says, we don't bring the mugmar there at all. And the second brisa says, you don't make a bracha on the mugmar, but it sounds like you do bring it. So the Gemara says, there's no contradiction between the two brises. So there's different ways to understand this. One way to understand it is the Beis HaAvel. Oh. One way to... Hello, just 1 minute. Somebody's making noise, which shouldn't be. 1 second. Okay. Now, okay. So the Gemara says, Haba Beis HaAvel could be the house where the dead body is. In other words, that's what the Gemara could be calling the Beis HaAvel. And the other is, he says, Haba Beit HaMenachemim, and the Beit HaMenachemim is after the person's been buried, then the Menachemim come. So, Beis HaAvel, the Mugmar would be to, like, you know, remove any bad, mask any bad odors that are coming from the body. So then that would explain why you don't make a bracha. In other words, I don't make a bracha. In other words, if the fragrance is just to mask an odor, I don't make a bracha on that fragrance, and then I would bring it there. But then once the body's been taken out and been buried, so then we don't bring the mugmar to the Beis HaAvel. That would be one hesber. Now, we had another hesber also, which is just the opposite. Let me try to remember. Wait a minute. Let me take a look. I'll explain in a minute. I'll come. Just give me 1 second. Let me just get this other shot, and we'll come to the point, Rafi. Okay, 1 second. Let me just get this 1 second. 1 second. So, yeah. So the other shot that he has here, one second. Yeah. He says the other pshat is the Beis HaAvel is a different pshat. The Beis HaAvel is a place where only the mourner is located. So that's being brought for pleasure, so that's not appropriate. But they didn't menachemim, so there that's permitted to in deference to the people who are there. The only thing is, though, that would sound like that saying not making a brachas. That's a little harder with that hesber, I think. Okay, now Rafi asked a question. So Rafi's question was, what about Abdallah for the Avel? Would he make a bracha on Besamim? So the only thing I would say is, like, with Mugmar, they would be burning incense. That's the way they're doing it, like, for the fragrance. So I don't remember that there's any prohibition from the Avel against making a bracha Borimine Besamim, but I need to double check. I don't think there's any prohibition from making the bracha Borimine Besamim, but I need to double check that, okay? All right. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts on
anything? I have a question.
Okay, Ruth, come up. What's up?
So aside from the preparation of food for the Avail, so that he needn't be involved in that, every other aspect of the Availus is dedicated to his discomfort. He's sitting on the floor. He's lying in a bed upside down. He's sitting with clothing that's ripped in half. Everything, and at the bottom of it all, he's mourning the loss of a person. Isn't that enough? Why does the Gemara go to such lengths to make such discomfort?
Well, I think it's just that the Nihugim are supposed to reflect the way he feels. In other words, and bring him to that feeling that he's in a state of avelus for the person. In other words, he's doing things that should reflect the way he feels. In other words, you obviously don't feel great, or you shouldn't feel great when you're suffering a loss like that. So by doing all these nihugim, you come to feel that way.
Is it, And you don't give the person any kind of charayas for feeling this from within. He's coming from the cemetery. He's hurling stones, earth on his father's head. If that's not enough to impose a velus,
he's buried a relative. Right, understand. But that's what a velus is. A velus is, you know, you're mourning for somebody, not having a pleasure cruise. So that's what a velus is all about. Okay. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Yeah, Daniel's got a question. Go ahead. Daniel, let us have.
First of all, they said no shkala or vedil marina first. So one of the reasons you give alcohol to the ones mourning is to make it easier.
All right.
So if that is the case, if you're trying to make them feel a little better, what's the problem with giving them something good to smell? That will also make them a little bit, but make pleasure that is a store over here.
So Daniel was asking that, I think he's referring to the Gemara Masech Suvas. The Gemara quotes a pasuk, I think. Tenu sheichar la'oveid, give like intoxicating beverage to the person who's like bereaved. So he's saying, isn't that sort of like a counter, you know, counter purposes with all these other things, which are, you know, setting the person down. So I think
that's good, and therefore maybe they should also let him smell something good.
All right, Daniel thinks they should let him smell the mugmar as well. All right. So I don't know.
Is it not analogous? I'm saying.
All right, I don't know.
And one other thing over there since we're talking about the dead symbolically being turned over because of tzelen, some say that the reason you rip the clothes is to tell the person the body is like a clothing to the soul. So the same way that right now the body is gone, but the soul is here. Right. So you
did you hear that explanation that Daniel said about? Daniel said that when you do kriya, it's like it symbolizes like the body. The body is like, you know, sort of like the body is the covering for the soul. So the body of the niftar is there separate from the soul. So you're ripping your garment. It seems like that the body is like, you know, the soul has been sort of disemboweled from the body. All right. What's up, Ruth? With Fern, what's up?
Isn't it preferable to sit Shiva in the house of the mate? But from the last few lines, it seems like that is not what they're doing, because they were distinguishing between the house of the mate and the one of the Menachemim.
No, so we gave two pshatim, right? So pshat number one, it's the same house, it's just as the dead body there or not. That's based on Avel and Beis Menachemim. The other pshat was to say it's the same house, but there's a room where only the Avel is and the room where the Menachemim are. So if it's a room where the Menachemim are, they can have some fragrance. The Menachemim can have, but the Avel can't. But it's all in the house of the Niftar.
Are there supposed to be Menachemim not in the room of the Avel?
No, I don't know what to say. But that's the way the Pshat is going. Like, let's say the Avel has a room where only he goes, and there's no Mugbar there. And then they're coming where the Menachemim are. So now that's where the Mugbar is, where the Menachemim are. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, let's keep moving. All right. Now. All right, we're up to the next Mishnah. We're Chavzayin Amalav, 27a, around 10 lines above where it gets white, above from the bottom of the dot. So, Matnithin, Emolikin Lebein Ha'avel, Loba Tavlov, Loba Askutlov, Loba Kanon, Elo Basalim. We're bringing food, so there's a din to bring, like, Sudas Havra, which is the first meal after you come back from the cemetery. So, when we bring the food to the Avel, we don't bring a Batavla, is like with this fancy platter. Loba Askutlov, we don't bring it in a fancy bowl, blow the kanon, not in a big basket, el basalim, like a simple basket that's, we'll see in the Gemara, that's made out of myrtle. Bein omrim birkat avelim b'moed, and then on kol moed, which is what we were hooking into on moed katan, we don't say birkat avelim. So birkat avelim means they would stop in like the square on the way back from the cemetery, and people would recite a bracha. The bracha would be baruch menachem avelim. We don't make that bracha on kol moed. But you do Beshura like you would do during the week. Everybody stands in a row and Umanachim, you say Makom in a Chemichem, Upotrin and Rabbim. Then right away we say, okay, everybody go down, you know, get home, don't hang out anymore. We don't leave the coffin in the street because we don't want people to like go at great lengths to speak about a Hesped. It means on Kol Moed. And a women's coffin would never leave in the Rehov, because the one shot is because, like, you know, body fluids may come from it and it would be a Gnai. Okay? Let's see back on the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Rishona, Himochim of the Abel, Ashrim Bichlato Shal Kesef Shal Zahav. So originally they would bring, if you go into a wealthy Avel, you'd bring food over in silver and gold baskets. Baniyim besalim nitzarim shalah rava klufa. And the poor people, you bring them with like simple baskets made out of like peeled willow branches. So all the people, well, poor people were embarrassed. But please, somebody is unmuting and it really makes it difficult. All right. There we go. Okay. Now, he says, So he established that everybody will bring like the simple basket, you know, out of the tavot for the poor people. Initially, they would serve drinks in the wealthy Abel's house with white glass. White glass apparently was the most expensive glass. He says, and then in the poor person's house would be like colored glass. So the aniyim would be embarrassed. So that everybody's going to do it the simple way, and so everybody's on the same level. Then, Barishona, Yumagalim Pnei Ashirim, Machasim Pnei Aniyim. He says they would expose, in other words, when the person being brought to Levaya, they would expose, if he was wealthy, they'd expose the person's face and cover, if he was wealthy, and if he was poor, they would cover it up. Because the poor person's face was blackened out of the famine, whatever, didn't look so good. But you and Aniyim at Baishim, so the Aniyim were embarrassed. Said everybody's face is covered. Initially, they would take the wealthy people out in a dargash. So we discussed dargash was like this leather bed. But aniyim, turn page, top line, on Chavzayim to base, 27 be the top line. Aniyim beklicha. The poor people, they would bring out with like in a beer. Aniyim felt embarrassed, like the wealthy people get like this whole, you know, expensive deal. We get the poor deal. So they would go in the poor way. The same derech with all them. Initially, you put mugmar, which is the burning incense or fragrance, under the body of a person who had died because of koli me'ayim. He had intestinal ailments. So they didn't want, you know, the odor, to have a bad odor. So they put mugmar there. So the people who had koli me'ayim, who were alive, felt embarrassed. They thought, oh my God, like, you know, if Rachman and son, person thinking if they die, this is what they're going to do for them. He said, you know what? We're going to put the fragrance under all the bodies, whether he's got holy mayayim or not. Initially, they would pavel the kalim, they would immerse the kalim in a mikvah if it was a kalim that belonged to a woman who had been a nida when she was alive. Because the nida is tmeah. He says, "By you nidot chayot nidbayshot." So the nidot who are alive felt embarrassed. Rashi says he says because like we're putting us like in a different category than everybody else, and they felt embarrassed. Said, "You know what? We're going to be tovel all the kalim of all the women." We should not be bilin al gabi zavin made him. Initially, they would be tovel the kalim if a man suffers from ziva, so he's also an avatuma. So they would tovel his kalim. So the people who were the zavin who were alive, you know, felt embarrassed, like you know, it's like you know, this is you know, if God forbid they die, this is what awaits them. And say, "Hatinushu matbilin al gav hakol nikon shel zavin chaim." She said, "We're going to tovel all. We're going to tovel all the women's kalim. We're going to tovel all the men's kalim." Initially, it was more difficult the expenditure to bury somebody, so the pain of the expenditure attending to the funeral of a karo was more difficult for the people than the death. In other words, they had the death and then the bill. You know, so it says the relatives they leave the aron and said, "We're out of here. We can't handle this. You know, somebody else take care of this." Until Rabbi Gamliel came, in other words, he was knowing like that he should have a simple funeral. In other words, Rabbi Gamliel left at Tzava'a, and when he would die, he said, "Take me out in a simple white cloth." The clay pishtan is linen cloth, linen garments. So it means that I think Rabbi Leibowitz was saying like he In other words, he wanted to make an enactment like this, but he didn't think it would be effective when he was still alive. So he left it tzavah that when he dies, do it this way. In other words, like, and then everybody would follow. And that's an idea like Rav Leibowitz says, like the biggest, you know, teacher is example, personal example. So Galil was a Nasi. He says, you know, bury me in simple clay pishdan. And they did and everybody was good with that. So Amar Papa, but even though Gama Filu, Mitzrata Bazuzah. Today we do shrouds, even if it's one zuz, we do the shrouds. So a lot of these dinim remain with us today. The fact that we have like a simple pine coffin, that's from this Takanas from Gamliel. In other words, people shouldn't have one person expensive, one person cheap. So we do and even the simple is expensive, I can tell you. But then we just do plain tachrichim is the way the person is buried. So that's, and even with all of that, it's still very expensive. All right. What is your question?
Yeah, what? I have a question. Aren't the faces, isn't the mace covered completely once it's established?
Yeah, you muted yourself, Ruth, but I heard the part of the question.
Except here, the faces are exposed.
No. So remember, we said initially the face was exposed, right? And then we said that they didn't expose the faces anymore.
Only if they were very blackened from
No, no. That's not what we said. Initially, the Gemara said that the wealthy people that have their faces exposed, and then the poor people not. And then they established a rule that everybody's face will be covered over, which is the way we do it now. Okay, so everybody's face is covered. Okay, any other questions, comments, thoughts? Okay, Rafi and Donnie have questions. Okay, Rafi, then Donnie, go ahead. Say again, what? All right, Rafi asks, is there a takana regarding the matseva not to do a big matseva? So there's no takana, but poskim do bring down, it's better not to spend so much money on a matseva, spend the money doing a mitzvah with the money, as opposed to, you know, making like some, you know, super duper matseva out of marble or gold or whatever, you know what I mean? Like they do it more simple. And then if you want to spend the money on a mitzvah. Okay. Then what's up then, Daniel?
Rabbi Gamliel, if you wanted to have a new takana,
right?
Instead of waiting until he passes away after post-mortem for them to come and have such a takana, could he have just come and if he had anybody passing away, come, I don't know, for his father or
yeah,
otherwise,
yeah, so
then the, it's going to affect the family.
Yeah, so people, I think that the way Rabbi Leibowitz was saying that he felt that people wouldn't listen to a takana unless he himself set the example
for his dad or...
All right, I don't know what to say. All right. What? It worked. Right. And we still have it till today. Okay. All right. I'm moving on. Okay. So we're on the fifth very wide line on Kavzayin and Beis. Okay.
By the way, it said something over there about the Bifnei Busha of the women. They said some say only if she had given birth, in which case.
Okay. All right. I think it's coming up in the Gemara. Did you see this already here or not? Okay. All right. We'll see in a minute. Okay. Now, the fifth wide line. Emanichin and Amita Berchov. So we said that on Chol HaMoed, we don't leave the mita, the beer in the street, because we want people to engage in hespedim, and a chol moed shouldn't have a hesped. So Amar Papa, ein moed b'fnei tamid chacham. So Rav Papa says that there's no chol moed in the presence of a tamid chacham, b'chol shkein chanukah and purim, certainly chanukah and purim, b'hani mila b'fanav. Meaning, according to Rav Papa, if the tamid chacham is right there, in other words, you're giving the hesped in his presence, so then you can give a hesped even on chol moed, is what Rav Papa is saying, and certainly in chanukah and purim. About shlobafan of lo, but if it's not there, the body's not there, then not. So the Gemara says, "Inis is true." But Rav Kahana safte the Rav Zvid bin Neherda b'kum nara. Rav Kahana gave a hesped for Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid was from Neherda. Rav Zvid died in Neherda, and Rav Papa, Rav Kahana was giving the hesped in Pumnara, and this was on Chol HaMoed, and the body wasn't there, and he gave a hesped for him. So Amra Papi. Yom Shmua Hava Ukipat of Dami. So he says that was when they heard that he had passed away. So Yom Shmua is like Kipatav. In other words, Kipatav is like you're feeling it, you know, like a sucker punch to you. So when the day you hear about it, it's so terrible. Now, even notwithstanding what the Gemara says, so the post can bring down that today, though, even for a Tamakaka, we don't give a hesped on Kol HaMoed. We don't give a hesped for anybody in Kol HaMoed. Okay? All right, now let's go a little further. Now, and the art school had it that way. Now, on the 10th wide line, Amar Ula. Hesped alei. So Ula says the word hesped means like to beat on the heart. That's what he's saying. Dichtiv al shadayim softim. shadayim on the breast. You're soaked in. So soaked in there means like to beat the breast. Tipuach, yeah. Tipuach is from Chazal, and tipuach means like to clap the hands. Kilos beregel. Kilos means to stamp the feet. So Tana Rabbanan, hamakales lo yikales besandal. So if a person, this is like apparently these were things that they would do when a person would pass away. Hamakales, a person is stamping his feet, he shouldn't do it with a sandal, with a sandal, el b'minal, m'nei sakana. He should do it with a minal because it's sakana. So the way our girsa is that a shoe stays on the foot. The sandal can slip off the foot and he's going to slam his foot down in some way that he's going to break the leg, chas v'shalom. And someone would say it's just the opposite. Someone would say the girsa is that you shouldn't be makalias with the shoe. The shoe is like soft and something could cut through the shoe and her on the foot. But the sandal is harder. They said wood, whatever. Okay, now, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Aveil, Kimish Neba Rosho, once he's nodded with his head, Shubay Menachem Roshim Leshevet, so Nachem Aron Tata sitting here. That means like this, when a person's an Aveilus, so he's Asur B'Shul Shalom. So he can't say, Seizchem L'Shalom. So it means he makes like a motion, you know, like you have to like read his body language. And he's like nodding his head, you know, that means he wants you to go at that point. And when you get the sense that he wants you to go, then go. In other words, that's one shot you could say. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So he says, Va'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Akol Chayvim Lamod B'nei Nasi. Everybody has to stand up in the presence of the Nasi. Nasi could be the head of the Sanhedrin. We saw earlier Nasi could also be the king. He says, Chutz me Avel b'chola, except for an Avel and a Chola. An Avel and a Chola are not expected to stand up for the Nasi. Va'amar Rabbi Yochanan, L'chol Omrim Lehem Shavu. Everybody else who would say, after they've stood up, okay, you may be seated, Chutz me Avel b'chola, except for an Avel and Chola, they didn't have to stand up to begin with. So they did stand up. I don't say, now you may be seated, because they never had to stand up to begin with. Or, the other pshat is, that for an Avel and Chola, we wouldn't say like Shavu, it's not talking about the Nasi. We wouldn't say like sit, because it sounds like sit in your misery or whatever, you know what I mean, like that. So we wouldn't say Shavu. So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rav, Avel Yom Rishon Asur Lechol Lechem Mishlo. An Avel, on day one of his Avelos, he's not allowed to eat his own bread, his own food. Mida Amar Le'Rachman Le'Chazkel, because the Kaddish Baruch Hu says to Yechazkel, so remember, we had all these Pesukim from Yechazkel, and Kaddish Baruch Hu says to Yechazkel, your wife is going to die, but I don't want you to do mourning like everybody else does mourning. So, and it's a metaphor for the destruction that Hashem is going to bring on Eretz Yisrael and the Mikdash. So you won't be able to, you're going to be so for tumult, you won't be able to mourn for that either. So he says, so Hashem says, you're going to be in mourning, but I don't want you to eat lechem of other people. So from there we see that normally you don't eat the other people, lechem of Anashim. Rabbi Rav Yosef, Machalfi Suda Tayyul Lahadade. So Rabbi Rav Yosef, they would each give each other food. So if Rabbi was Avelis, Rav Yosef would give him the food. Rav Yosef was Rabbi would give him the food. But the Arsva said they didn't have a formal agreement this way, because if they have a formal agreement, then it's like, then I'm like paying you back and it's like my food. So it's but that's what they did for one another. It's interesting because that sounds a lot like the Gemara Megillah about with Shalach Manas, so that they would be like, you know, Machalfi Sudatayu and things like that. Okay. V'amar Rav Yudim Arav, Meit Ba'ir, Rav Yusuf and Rav, Meit Ba'ir, if somebody dies in the city, Kuban Yer Asurim Basiyat Malacha, everybody in the city is prohibited from doing Malacha when the person dies. And the idea is, you want people to attend to the needs of the Meit. So Rav Hamnuna Ikla L'Darumi Mata, so Rav Huna came to the city, Darumata, Shema Kal Koshipura D'Shachva, he heard the sound shofar that indicated somebody had died. He saw some people working, like it doesn't make a difference to them. He says, let these people in third person, so it's like, I'm putting you in excommunication. Isn't there a dead person here? I see you going to work. So you're b'shamta. And we had the term shamta earlier on Masechta, though it feels like such a long time ago with Dafyomi. So Amrulei, so he said to him, Chabruta ita b'maka. Mata. There's a Chevra Kaddisha in the town. In other words, there's different societies that handle different dead people. So he says, Amar Luhu, Yihachi Shari Luhu. That's the case. I lift up the Shamta. In other words, if there's, you know, like you know, like in, like for the Ashkenazi Jews, you have Landsmannschaft, and, you know, you have like this group of people, you know, who would take care of each other for kavura or things like that. So if there's like a social circle that's taking care of it, so everybody doesn't have to drop from work and that. All right. We have 60 seconds for questions and we got to move on. Okay. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything that's so far? Everybody good? Everybody good in the cyber world? Okay. Let's move on. Yeah. But I'm a review to Marav. A person grieves too much for the deceased.
We said that
Daniel's first, got a question. Go
first
ahead.
Seuda, we said you should have from other people. They thought that they had a custom that all of the meals should be brought by other people.
Yeah, so the way the Mechaber, I should mention this, the Mechaber brings down a Shulchan Aruch that it's just the first meal has to be from other people, and that's the Seudas Havra that they bring.
What's the source for all the meals?
I don't know. But I mean, you can see here in the Gemara, it sounded like all the meals, but I think the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch doesn't have that way. Let me look quickly on this, and then we'll move on, and then I can't take any more questions. 1 second.
Right now?
1 second, 1 second. Okay. Shana in Chiral. 1 second. Did we see it there or not?
I saw it somewhere.
Okay, here's what the Mechaber says. Mechaber says, "Avel asur lechol mishlo b'suda rishona, abal b'shniyah mutar, afilu b'yom rishon." He says, "In second meal, he could have even b'yom rishon," is what the Mechaber says. So I don't know. So the customs are always possible, but I don't know more. Ruth, you have some question? What's up?
Yeah, I do. When you think of what how we observe the dinim and minhagim now, even at the most stringent, nothing compares to what was expected then. Right. At what point did so much of this fall away?
Okay, you have to hold off with that. Let me go a little further in the Gemara. Okay, now let's take a look back on the Gemara. Now, the Gemara says Okay, but Amar Rabbi Yehuda, we're in the small alpha in parentheses. But Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, from the Kashel Meito, please, you gotta mute yourself, Okay. But Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, from the Kashel Meito Yotir Midai, if a person grieves too much, Almeid Acher Hubocha. In other words, he's gonna have to grieve for others. In other words, it's an Aveir to grieve too much for the deceased. And if you do, you're gonna suffer another loss. There's a woman in the neighborhood of Rav Huna. Habula Shibabani. She had 7 sons. Meitchad Minayu. One of the sons died. Habakabakia b'tiratalei. She was like crying excessively for the son. Shalach Rav Huna. So Rav Huna sent her lo tabzihak. Don't do that. To laashkabe. She didn't pay him attention. Shalach lo. He sent her. He taitet mutav. If you listen to me, it'd be good for you. Below, if you don't listen to me, tabizabatatal leidach. You're gonna have to prepare like shrouds for another person. So another son died. Umitukul. Eventually, all the sons died. So for Amar Law, says like you keep crying on this, you'll have to prepare your own shrouds. Umit, and then she died. So the Gemara says now Al Tifkula Meit Yal Tanudulo. The Gemara Darshan says Pasuk in Yirmiya. Don't cry for the maid. Yal Tanudulo. Don't like move your head for him. Al Tifkula Meit Yal Tanudulo. Die. Don't cry excessively for the maid. Yeah, to nudlo your teremik shear. Don't like that and move your head more than the correct shear. He says haketzad. So shaming the bechi. 7 days is crying. The shiva the hesped, and then shiva the hesped. Ushloshim legiut to the store. In 30 days for pressing clothes and getting a haircut. Mikan ve'elach amar kadosh baruch hu yitem rachmanim bo yotem many. After that, kadosh baruch hu says, "Don't be more merciful than I am." In other words, I'm merciful. I had to take this person away, and you don't go overboard with this. Okay, then the pasuk says, "Bechu b'chol aholeich, cry for the holeich." I'm Rabbi Yehuda, aholeich below banim, cry for the person who dies without leaving sons behind. Shuben Levi, lo azal lebe avla, lemanda azal below banim. Shuben Levi would only go to Beis Ha'avel. I guess he was busy learning Torah and doing a lot of other things. Would only go to Beis Ha'avel if the person died without sons. The thief. You should cry for the whole life. He's not coming back. He's in and he's not going to see the land of his birth. Rav Huna has a different shot. And it says, cry for the whole life. The way Rav Huna darshans it out was that it's the person who's not going to do tshuva. And who is that? The person who did an aveira and then he repeats the aveira. Rav Huna l'tame. Rav Huna follows his shita. The Amar Rav Huna. Even Shavar Dama the Rav Shanaba, once a person does a transgression and then he repeats it, Putrilo becomes permissible to him. So So the Gemara says, who should those talk about it? But he's being permissible. Ela ema nasi lo keheter. It's like it becomes mutar to it. So like if a person, whatever the avera is, if it's he's eating trefas, eating without a bracha, mechal Shabbos, you know, kissing his friend's wife, doing all these things, once you repeat it, and you are talking in the chazaras of shatz, you name the avera, after you do it a few times, it's not so bad. It's completely mutar. And I don't even like the people who come and criticize. I don't even like the people who criticize. I don't even like the people who criticize me. So Amar Levi, Avel Shoshayim Marishonim, Yiradat Smol Kilu Cherhu Naflo Bein Shtei Tefav. The Avel, the first 3 days, in other words, when a person suffers a loss, there's a din that's in Shemayim, like not only against the Niftar, but against him, possibly. So the first 3 days of Avelos, he should see like a sword that's between his shoulders or his thighs, the way we the Rei Kotab, say from his shoulders, meaning Mishlosha Ad Shiva Kilu Menachlo Kineg Keren Zavid. After 3 days, it's like in the corner, it's not right next to him. After that point in time, it's like it's passing in the Urim and the Shuk. In other words, there's a din, but it gets it with passage of time. We don't put the bottom line on Chabzayin days. We don't put the beer of women in the street forever out of Kavod. So Amri near her doy, the near Dinsi, Loshanu, the top line of Kavodamal, Elachai, a woman who died in childbirth. Abal Sharna Shimanitham, other women we would put, in other words, a woman who died in childbirth, is also fluids coming out of her. Reblazar Amar, Kul Sharnashim, Reblazar says, even other women as well, we still have to worry about this. The Thiba, Tamad Sham, Miriam, Vatikavir Sham, Samuk Lamita Kvura. In other words, Miriam died there, she was buried there. Implication being, right after the meet, there was the Kvura, and the Gemara must say with women, like Chikcha. But Amar Reblazar, Af Miriam ben Ashika made. Reblazar says that Miriam also died with a kiss. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu died ben Ashika, that's the best in Aaron. At Yisham Shami Moshe, Zerushava Sham Shami Moshe, says Vayamat Sham Moshe, and Batikavir Sham Miriam, Zerushava. Lima Nulan Abarba Al Pi Hashem. Why didn't it say Al Pi Hashem? There was by Moshe Rabbeinu, it says Vayamat Sham Moshe, but Hashem Al Pi Hashem. And by Aaron also, I think it says that way. So why didn't it say by Miriam that was it? And she can I have the Barla Omro. It's not so nice to say it like the Hashem kisses the woman or whatever. So we leave it like with Zereshava. Amr Rami, Laman is Machamita Mir in the Parsha Paraduma. Why is the death of Miriam juxtaposed with Parsha of Paraduma? So the Gemara says, Lamar Lacha, Ma Paraduma Mechaperet. In other words, first you have the Paraduma, then right after that Miriam dies. So why are those two juxtaposed in the Chumash? He says, Ma Paraduma Mechaperet, just like the Paraduma brings Kapara. He says, Af meets Tanch Tzadikim Mechaperet. So too the death of Tzadikim brings a Kapara. Amar Blazar, Laman is Mechamitet Aaron, the Big Day Kuhuna. This is our Parsha of Shavu this week, is Parsha Tzaveh, piece about the Big Day Kuhuna. So why is the death of Aaron mentioned close by with the Big Day Kuhuna? Now, the death of Aaron, the Big Day Kuhuna. So wait, where's it mentioned in the Big Day Kuhuna? Where's the death of Aaron mentioned in the Big Day Kuhuna? Let me just take a look. Yeah, 10. Where's the thing here? Oh, right. Yeah, I got it. Please. Okay. So it says that Moshe Rabbeinu took the clothes off of Aaron HaKohen before he died, and he put it on Eleazar his son. So he says, just like the Big Day Kuhuna bring kapara, each one of the Big Day Kuhuna bring a certain kapara. So too, the meat of Siddiqim is mechaperet. Okay, we have 30 seconds for questions. Let me get one. Okay. With Ruth, I don't have an answer when these things develop, Ruth. But over the years, you know, things develop. I don't have an answer for you. Okay, what's up?
Father, the Vela Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know, giving Tzad Shabbat to Miriam. I mean, there's no male, female. What I mean, Tzad Hashem is male.
Well, that's exactly right. Okay. In other words, Kadosh Baruch Hu is depicted as like a male. We use like Lashon Zachar for it. Hashem Yishmo Kamal Hashem Shmo.
Yes, but
All right.
By the way, I found that the Tosfot say that all the Sudot should be different.
Okay, so Daniel says all the Sudot should be by the other people. Okay, according to Tosfos. Where's the Tosfos? Okay, Dana's going to find the Tosfos. Okay, I got to say goodbye to everybody. All right, Tosfos.
Mishkoach.
One second.